Oh man, it is so good to be here because this is a room full of hungry people. And these are people that are wondering for the Lord. And it just, I cannot tell you, like I'm looking at faces in the room right now that like have had a direct impact on my family. And I just want to say thank you for being so hungry to the Lord. Like it's making a huge difference in my life and the life of my kids. My kids see you and they see how hungry you are. So thank you guys for stewarding your hunger. It's so impressive. So today I want to talk about this thing called contemplative prayer. And it sounds very boring, and is it not? It's very accepting. But I want to start with a story of when my wife Karina and I were dating. And let's see here. I was in my freshman year of college. I was going to school in Tennessee, and she was wrapping up high school. We started dating really young, and we were just so good looking and in love. We used to thought. And so we got invited by some friends. I'm coming back to Colorado for summer. We're getting invited with some friends to go to the Sand Dunes National Park. So we get in my super cool Ford Ranger. It's awesome. We pack up. It's about a 4-hour journey out there. And we get in the car, and we just have so much to catch up on. We have so much to catch up on. So we're chatting, we're talking, and we're just, like, going for it. And I just remember feeling like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever. And we're going, and we're going, and we're going, and then eventually, we run out of things to say. We came to the end of all that we needed to catch up on, and we were at a loss for words. And I remember, every time this happened to me, up to this point, that would have been very awkward, because I had another hour and a half in the car with somebody that I didn't know what to say to, and I'm never at a loss for words. I always have something to say. But with Karina, it was just so good to just be in her presence. It was so good to just be looking outside, knowing that she was right there. We were 100% connected, but not saying a word. That's when I learned that with true intimacy, words become optional. With true intimacy, words become completely optional. As your connection with this individual increases, it's just this inverse relationship. You just don't need the same amount of words to be connected to them. We're at day 20 of 21 days, and I've seen a lot of your faces here. I've probably made it to maybe 2 a week. Not an excellent amount, not a bad amount, but I know that I've spent a lot of time, and you have too, with a lot of intimate time with the Lord. And some of you are coming to the end of what you want to say or need to say to God. But that just means you're coming to the tipping point of intimacy with God.
That's right, Rob.
You're going to have this point where words just are not required anymore to be with God. And I think a lot of you have been there in this room.
Great.
And that might feel scary to you, but I'm telling you, that's when things are going to start getting really, really good for you. Really good for you. There's so many people in this room that would tell you that right now. That's what contemplative prayer is. At least what the academics call it. The academics call it contemplative prayer. Some other faith traditions, they call it like soaking or encountering God. I don't know, there's all these funny words for it, but that's what it is. So it's just being 100% connected to God and without having to say anything with him. Just being with him in his presence is what I would define contemplative prayer as. Mama T, who's not a rapper actually, it's Mother Teresa. And that's what we call in our household is Mama T. She was interviewed in 1989. Long time, Rebecca liked that one. She's still level. And Dan, she was interviewed by Dan Rather. I don't know what it was for, but this was 1989. And she was interviewed, and Dan asked her, you know, when you pray, what do you pray? She said, I don't say anything. I just listen. And Dan, I think, was pretty perplexed by this. I actually haven't seen the video, but just reading the transcript, it seems like he's pretty, like, taken aback. So he asked the good follow-up question, which is, well, what does God say to you? And she responded, he doesn't say anything either. He just listens. And then she follows up with this, and I don't know if it was snot or not. I doubt it because it's Mama T. But it says, and if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you. So crazy. Like, contemplative prayer, spending time with God, it's different than the petitionary prayer and the intercessory prayer that you and I are very familiar with. That's what we've been doing in this time most of the time, is asking God for things on behalf of ourselves, asking God for behalf of others. Super important way of, you know, following God. It's one of the practices we're commanded to do it. But the idea of contemplative prayer is taken right out of 2 Corinthians 3. Paul says, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." The word, the Greek word that Paul uses there is I don't speak Greek, so I'm not going to try to even attempt to say it. It's very hard. It's like kasu or something very weird. But what it means is to gaze or behold. So the faces that contemplate, and we all, who with unveiled faces behold the Lord's glory, or gaze upon the Lord's glory, are being transformed in his image. It's just beholding God. It's literally, I guess what he's trying to describe is like, you're literally turning the direct of your inner gaze towards God. That's what contemplative prayer is, and that's where transformation happens. There's a right there. And if that's true, if we're changed by being with God and just being in his presence, well, everything changes. Psychologists have these theories. Who knows if they're true or not? Probably, I don't know. Not smart enough to know. But there's like 5 or 6 theories that kind of go around this idea that you cannot give love unless you've experienced love. And furthermore, the amount at which you've experienced love is the amount at which you can give love. With contemplative prayer, we have the option to be with the most loving presence in the world. So you have the option to go be with the loving presence so that you could distribute love outward. And so it's just so powerful to be within a contemplative prayer. It's really good. John Mark Comer, in his book, he's talking about contemplative prayer. He says, "This simple, uncomplicated act," he's talking about contemplative prayer, "has the potential to transform our inner lives and heal our deepest wounds in ways that more Bible study, more church attendance, and more therapy, as good as all those things are, cannot possibly touch." I think that's really good. If that's the potential, I'd like to learn how to do it more. Yeah. And I'd say that I do this irregularly. Seems like Aaron does it a lot. He has a chair that he talks about pretty regularly. I've seen the chair with my own eyes. It's just a normal big chair. He also has an office chair with cheetah print on it, so that's pretty cool. His chair doesn't work without coffee, apparently. He needs coffee for him to encounter God, and I do too. So here is how you encounter God, or how you have this contemplative prayer session. Step one is to find the spot and find the time. Okay? And if you find the spot and find the time, it needs to be a spot and a time in which you're not going to be interrupted,
yeah,
which is really hard to find, especially for parents with young kids or wives with husbands like me. Like, it's very hard to find that place. I have friends that literally will go into their closet. And the goal here is not to be weird. The goal is to encounter God. And these people are hungry enough to do whatever it takes. They put themselves in the closet sometimes just to be with God,
yeah,
which is really good. So go find a place where you can sit, can still your mind, be still in your mind, and just sit. Step two, I put my hands out like this, and I invite God, and I say, I just got a friend. I say, "Hey God, I'm here for a counter. I'm here to contemplate you, God. I'm here to be with you. Will you come and meet me here?" And step three, much like meditation, this is a lot like meditation, you might be thinking, right? I want to just say the goal of meditation is to clear your mind, just to have a clear mind and to calm yourself down. There's probably here people that know more about meditation than I do, but I think there's a huge difference. The invitation to contemplative prayer is to clear your mind so that you can make space for what God wants to say to you. So you can get an indwelling of what God wants in your life, for your life, I should say, which is important. So take some deep breaths until you clear your mind. Step four is just sit there. It's the hardest part. At first, you'll only be able to do a few minutes. And even that will be unsuccessful for me most of the time because I'm thinking about my crazy day and my crazy kitten's about to wake up and the coffee that I want to drink. But I'd say about 40% of the time, my mind is clear enough that I have the space and time to encounter God and to allow myself to just look at God and God look at me and up and we're happy, as they say. There will be a temptation when you're all wrapped up. And that temptation will be, you'll want to judge that moment as a success or as a failure in your time with God. And I would encourage you not to do so. The fruit of this practice does not come from you being able to clear your mind and get God into you. That is very good. But the success comes from doing it over days and weeks and months and years.
Yeah.
So just put in the practice. Make 5 minutes. And this will start coming to you easier and easier because it's a practice, right? You'll find as you go, you will be driving down the road and you will literally be like, oh, I was just spending time with God. It's the weirdest thing. You start to crave this one-on-one time with God. So I'd highly encourage you guys to be with God in contemplative prayer. The last thing I'll say is this is not a practice for just super Christians. I think that's a modernist bummer that people really, really think. If you've known God for 30 minutes or 30 years, contemplative prayer and encountering God is here for you today.
Yeah.
And so that's my prayer for you as we enter into this individual prayer time is I would love for you guys to put your hands out and just say, God, I'm here to encounter, and just try to quiet your mind and just be with God. And if that doesn't work today, no biggie. We got lots of stuff to pray for. We got lots of things to say to God anyway, and all of these things are good. None of them are less. None of them are more. Just try it. Just give it an effort.
That's great.
So that's my prayer for you guys as we enter into this time. So let's pray for that. God, come and encounter us in this time. We love you, Lord. We love you so much. You are worth encountering. You are worth experiencing.
Yeah.
You change everything when we get you. More of you, God.
Yeah. Thank you for being hungry. For us and us being hungry for you.